Sentinel Online. Now loading the Beast Unleashed podcast.
This is Megatron, and you're listening to the Beast Unleashed podcast. Oh, yes.
This episode of the Beast Unleashed podcast features Stephen C. Phillips, Mike Blanchard, and Michael Wilson.
Hello and welcome to the world's first ever Beast Wars Beast Machines review podcast. This is the Beast Unleashed podcast brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network. I am your host, Steve Jew and Mike, and joining me is Pecan Court Michael. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going. And Steve Megatron. Hello.
Howdy, howdy.
Hopefully we won't have to kill Steve in this episode.
I will kill you first.
Hey, if you get up and leave, you're dead, dude.
You're dead.
Today we'll be reviewing three more episodes from Beast Machines. Because tonight that we're recording this, we're on an extremely tight time schedule. It's going to be an extremely short general chat. So, Steve, what have you been doing?
A lot of Transformers and other voice acting, voiceover related projects, not necessarily in terms of the fan version of a Beast Wars episode, but more so just all kinds of random.
Yeah.
Oh, and I won a prize on Radio Free Cybertron's contest this week.
Cool.
Yes. I believe it is War for Cybertron Megatron because of a voicemail I sent in as Megatron, Waspinator, Grimlock, Scourge, and I think Gollum.
Wow.
Arguing over who's going to have the same toy.
Yeah, you don't even remember what you used.
I remember the Transformers. That's all that's...
I can see how that would be confusing.
Yes, well, they were arguing over the same toy of who was going to get it and why.
Oh, okay.
And Megatron's basically shutting each one of them down.
And, Michael, what's going on with Family Wilson?
Not much. Dive Bomb lost a leg. Dive Bomb found a leg. All is well.
How does Dive Bomb lose a leg when he's usually encased in glass?
No, not it's Revenge of the Fallen Dive Bomb.
Oh, okay.
He was the little biplane. He's a little spindly little guy.
Yeah.
Like a stick figure with wings. And I came into my office one day, and he was on the floor missing a leg. And, you know, apparently Gavin got a hold of him. And I couldn't find the leg, and about 3 days later, the leg turned up.
Well, that's always good.
No help from Gavin there.
No. Of course not.
No.
Yes, of course not. I've been up to the usual stuff, podcasting, been helping Kevin out with his first actual hosting job on a show. He's going to create his own podcast for our network, so I've been doing that and just the usual crap. So I guess we are going to get into some episodes.
How long you been snooping around up there?
Long enough. Can I have a look?
Nah. You look with your eyes.
Okay, that's a spark extractor, but what's it rigged up to?
An old DNA scanner. You see, me and Optimus, it got to thinking we ought to cobble together something to restore the Transformer sparks into the robotic bodies.
Well, have you found a way to make them techno-organic without the Oracle?
We're still working out that part.
Nightscream have any luck on his recon mission?
Haven't heard from him.
It's been 3 megacycles.
Vicon?
First up, today is In Darkest Night. Black Arachnia finally revives Silverbolt, but is he glad to be reawakened? Rhino, really? I mean...
That was quite an obvious pull.
God.
That's all that happened.
I know.
Good night, everybody.
I know, but, I mean, what the hell? Let me look at the...
I think Rhino was drunk when they wrote these, or the guy obviously didn't understand the point of writing a plot.
Yeah, it's like one sentence.
That leaves you wanting to watch the episode, not, hey, here we are!
Yeah. It's like one sentence, and it's funny. In the booklet, they have, like, dot, dot, dot after Silverbolt's name, in between Silverbolt and Butt. And it's like, oh, God. So, there has to be more to him than meets the eye. Oops, wait, Nightscream didn't say that. He just said, oh, there has to be more to him than what's here, or whatever the hell he said. I don't freaking know.
If he said that, he would have had to sing it. He would have been like, you know, there's more to him than meets the eye.
Except he'd do it all kind of like Peter Parker-y.
Oh, wow. That's actually scary. Silverbolt is free! Yay!
Yay. Silverbolt should have been a velociraptor.
No.
That would have been cool, because then he would have been angry, and he would have sounded Dinobody with Silverbolt.
Exactly, yeah. Well, you know, when the DNA scanner went around, it scanned the bat, right?
It scanned a Tyrannosaurus, too.
And it scanned, I wasn't sure if that was a Velociraptor transfer. It was a big theropod skull.
Right.
And I thought, oh, there we go. He's going to be, and then, no, he's a bird.
What if...
Worse, he's a chicken.
What if they had strapped one of those on Megatron? Oh, son of a bitch, I'm a Tyrannosaurus again. Damn, I just got rid of that body.
But see, the problem with even trying to get Megatron DNA scanned is he has no body.
Yeah.
No, seriously. I mean, the
he's a ship. I'm floating down a river like a log.
I'm gonna open up my ass and shit out all these guns.
I'm gonna shit some tentacles. Oh wait, that's later.
Oh wow. Nightscream has a pet. Nobody gives a crap.
But it breathes fire.
My pet's better than your pet.
Mine breathes fire.
Did you notice that his pet looks a lot better in this episode?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they went back and they cleaned up the Savage model. I mean, and that, I want to say it's not just because we see it this time. Before it was, you know, we weren't sure what it looked like, and it was kind of, you know, sneaking in and off in the darkness, and now we see it, you know, in full daylight, head on. We know what it looks like. But I really think they went back and cleaned up the model. It looks like it's got a lot more texture to it.
Yeah, it does. From White Knight to Dark Knight. So what do we think of Silverbolt's character changes here?
I think if he's going to be so emo, then he's going to have to take Nightscream's hair.
No. Now, wait a second here. Hold on.
He's got more of a depth charge-ish revenge vibe going on.
Yeah, he has nothing on Nightscream's emo-ness, because...
Nightscream's like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Teenage punk.
See, the thing with Jetstorm, Silverbolt, whatever, you know, whatever he was, whatever he is now, he was one of their own from before. He wasn't some cocky-ass bat hiding in the shadows stalking Rat Trap. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So... I mean, he has a right to, and of course it comes up later, I have a note about this later, you know, when he was Jetstorm, he actually enjoyed doing the stuff that he did. You know, he didn't, so I mean, he has a right to have a tortured soul.
That's understandable, yeah. So, I mean, they went a different direction with the character that I'm not entirely sure I agree with. similar to what they did with Rhinox.
See, I like it because he's still a good guy now, but he's still got that evilness in him from when he was Jetstorm, because it wasn't like, oh, Megatron took his spark, reformatted it into Jetstorm, and they were two different personalities. Silverbolt knew everything he was doing as Jetstorm.
Whereas Rhinox did not.
Yeah.
Until Primal and them released him.
I'm going to lay out this, just throw it out there, see what you guys think. Gay sparkly vampire.
No.
Yeah.
He's no. Like,
I've done bad things. I've done horrible things you wouldn't imagine. No. I can't live with myself anymore.
No.
It's like, oh, man, don't even give me this shit. You know, I'm just so over this character.
No.
I've seen horrible things. I've done horrible things. It's like, yeah. All right,
I think one of the reasons why I like Silverbolt so much in this series more than Beast Wars is because the corniness isn't there all of the damn time. Like, he doesn't specifically say, oh, I'm a hero character, blah, 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 blah. Well, I like that in Beast Wars about him. I just like this version better.
He's lacking the medieval horns.
Yeah.
See, now for me, I like the old Silverbolt better.
Me too.
Well, to each their own.
As corny as hell as he was, I like the old Silverbolt better, just because he was more compassionate, whereas now he's just like, fuck all.
Well, he's, and like I said, the reason why he's not really, that's Nightscream, honestly. Nightscream is always fuck all, because...
Well, Nightscream's in it for himself regardless.
Right.
Nightscream's
regardless.
A douchebag.
What?
He needs to be spanked.
He needs more than that. He needs to be whooped. He needs to take it out back and beaten with a stick.
Maker.
What?
Bend over, kid, and meet your maker.
Oh, God. First Megatron rapes Barney. Now he's going to rape Nightscream. Yikes.
No, I'm going to rip off his wings and make him eat them.
And give him a spanking.
Okay.
Oh, bastard.
My only problem with Silverbolt is that how the hell has he mastered techno-organic transformation in like 2 seconds?
Well, you notice that nobody has to learn how to transform anymore.
Yeah.
That's because apparently they inherit it from Primal when he gives them the magical code. Here's the key to whatever, you know. You guys can transform instantly. No need for actually learning anymore.
I mean, I know it's a time saver, obviously, so we don't have to go through every, you know, new transformation montage and all that, but I just...
Well, that was actually something I was going to bring up in the last episode, because Botanica doesn't need to learn how to transform. Savage Noble, for that matter, didn't need to learn how to transform. No one's having to sit and meditate anymore. It's just like, wow, look what I can do.
Well, Savage Noble, you really couldn't count, because technically at the time when he was transforming before, it was Megatron. And Megatron knew how to transform between bodies.
Megatron always knows how to do whatever it happens to be.
Right. But I think it was just a time saver, honestly.
Yeah.
The crew. Because, I mean, you know, it's like I said last episode, you know, Glade brought it up to us that, you know, he didn't like the, I am transformed bit all the time. And now that they're not doing it, but it's still, I don't know, whatever. Despite your all's opinions about liking the old Silverbolt, which I still like the old Silverbolt, but for this series, I love this design. It's just awesome for Silverbolt.
Really?
Yeah, I like it a lot.
He's a chicken.
No, I'm talking about the robot mode, not the. I mean, the beast mode is like an eagle-ish chicken type of thing, but the robot mode is very awesome. And I got so sick of those damn long-ass weapons he had in Beast Wars. I like the little small daggers that he has now.
Okay. The ones that he can throw, like, 15 at a time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are cool.
Welcome home, Mary Sue.
Asshole.
I've done such horrible things. How could you possibly love me?
I revel in the misdeeds I've done. I enjoyed it, damn it.
Team Silverbolt. No, wait. I'm Team Edward. I'm Team Silverbolt.
Shut up.
I've done such horrible things.
Team Viacon and Team Silverbolt.
Yikes. Okay, then. And of course, at the end of this, it's like, true love conquers all.
Not on my show.
Now, Joker, stay away. This is not your forte.
I don't know if it conquers all, but it does come full circle.
Well,
in the sense that in Beast Wars, Black Arachnia was the one that was turned good by Silverbolt.
Exactly.
And now Silverbolt's needing to be brought back to the light by Black Arachnia.
Right. But at the same time, he's not necessarily a bad guy.
He voluntarily went that way.
Right. Well, he voluntarily went that way with Megatron as far as that becoming Jetstar, but once he gets turned back into Silverbolt, it's not like Rhinox where he's like, oh, I've seen both sides and I'm choosing to side with Megatron. No, Silverbolt's pissed at Megatron and he wants to kick his ass, and he actually does later on. But, you know, I still like it. I still dig it.
Okay.
So,
dig it with a shovel.
What about you, Steve?
I like that Megatron's giant head's floating around still.
Yep.
It was nice to see Rat Trap tinkering with stuff once more. Playing with his tools and, creating the, DNA scanner with a spark extractor, which actually is a pretty ingenious idea.
Yeah.
And then, you know, of course he has a random bone, like, he was getting ready, alright, so when Silverbolt comes back, Bird Dog's gonna need a bone to bite, so. Out of sarcasm, of course.
That's
but,
funny.
But yeah, and then, Nightscream to me is kind of getting annoying that he's, oh, boo hoo, I gotta go find Savage Noble. And, you know,
I lost my dog.
I lost my dog, I can't find him. Yeah, so it was just getting annoying watching that part of the show.
Yeah. Well, do you notice that? This is one of the first shows I've seen that actually have two separate plots. It reminded me a bit of like an hour-long show where you've got an A plot and a B plot.
Yeah.
Where the A plot is changing Silverbolt, and the B plot is finding Noble Savage.
Yeah.
Which I thought was strange that you'd have two plots in a half-hour show.
Yeah.
Well, at least it diversifies it because it splits the teams up, obviously. And then, of course,
twice as boring. Well, no, because finding Noble Savage is boring.
Well, yeah.
There's not really a whole lot going on there. I liked it that we got to see more of him, and he's really ugly up close. But other than that, you know, and then we've finally changed Silverbolt, and he's on Team Edward. So,
okay.
I don't know.
Knock it off with the Twilight reference.
Right. Well, in any case, back to the episode, anybody notice that when Megatron is the Grand Mal, when he sucked up Cheetor and Primal, it kind of reminded you of the alien device that he gained control of and put his face on in Beast Wars?
It also reminded me of the tractor beam on the Nemesis.
I was thinking on the end of the season there where Rat Trap's like, we're all going to die, and Ronix says, yep, we are. It's like, ooh, death by tractor beam.
Yeah, but I mean, the tractor beam thing in this was pretty cool, seeing that occur again, regardless of the fact.
My first note was actually Scotty beam me up. Yeah, you'll appreciate that.
That's
nice. But yeah, and then of course I liked how, you know, they were like, oh, there's this problem, I haven't figured out how to make a techno-organic yet, when they get scanned, and she's like, well, I'll figure something out. And all she did was she just put up a web that knocked Jetstorm into the techno-organic goop.
Goop, yep.
And then it's like, scanning for life forms. And then it just, you know, it's like, okay, Beast Wars is back.
You know, I almost wish the voice was there, though, because it
did. That would have been awesome.
Yeah, it would have been so awesome.
I would have loved to have heard scanning for life forms. And then just hear, you know, because you did hear some of that sound of that device working.
Yep.
So that was cool. And then seeing him transform, of course, turning into Super Chicken was kind of disturbing. I don't know. That's just what he looked like to me.
He's an eagle, damn it.
I know, but is the type of organic form? He looks like some kind of a, either, you know, something from the Muppets or something from, like, a Looney Tunes reject cartoon. But, I mean, it's, I don't know. I think that his robot mode looks like it belongs in, like, animated more so than Beast Machines. And I think his Beast mode, despite it looking like a Super Chicken, it seems all right. I can honestly say I still, regardless of the fact of what he looks like, I like Silver Bolt a hell of a lot better than Night Scream.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's no contest there.
And in these three episodes we're doing today, it's also kind of funny that the Maximals all of a sudden get two new recruits.
Yep.
At halfway through the second season, with no third season.
Yeah.
You know what I would have loved to have seen? Dinobot come back. That would have been the shit.
Why can't we just let him rest in peace? Jeez.
That would have been the shit. They had dinosaur bones on Cybertron somehow.
I know, but still.
Fuck, have Grimlock come back.
Oh, God. And that's another thing that we need to bring up maybe later on, I think. Later on about the whole continuity bit. You got anything else, Steve?
I like that one of the final phrases Thrust and Jetstorm did together when Night Scream was looking for
Noble,
and Thrust is like, nothing noble about us, and then Jetstorm's like, but Savage, we can do that.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
Well, yeah, you get the last bit of Jetstorm sarcasms in there, and then I like where Megatron decides he's going to torture Primal to get information on the Oracle. He's like, it'll be painful, slow. Well, actually, he goes, I anticipate that extracting this information will be slow, painful, and regrettably fatal.
Did you say regrettably?
Yes,
he did.
Okay. I watched it just like 20 minutes ago. I was like, cha-ching, that's awesome. Megatron is the shit.
What about you, Michael?
I really like the lighting in this episode. I mean, lately I've been kind of ragging on the animation and the graphics and such for the computer and animated whatever. But this episode was nice. When they're underground, it's nice and murky and green. It's like reflected green light that kind of moves. It's very foreboding. When they're inside the Grand Mall, it's very dark. You know, and the darkness kind of moves, and it had just enough ambiance there to really help the scene. And they even get water right this time. You know, the waterfall looked really good. It looked better than it did that in I forget what episode it was. It was a couple back.
Right.
When they first run into Noble Savage.
Yeah, that was the episode Savage.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like they went back and fixed the waterfall, so it doesn't look like crap anymore. So that was nice. But yeah, they really, I think, went back and cleaned some stuff up over previous episodes. Silverbolt spends a lot of time walking in chicken mode.
Likes it.
I don't like it. You know, it's like, you know what? If you're not going to fly, just
cut off
don't
your
run
wings.
Yeah, exactly. Just no. If you're not going to fly, transform in the robot mode, because yeah, you just look really funky walking around like a chicken. I kind of feel that they were saving up for that big, you know, samurai robot reveal later on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, let's not have him change just yet. We want to get it just right. But, yeah, watching him walk around through the Grand Mall in chicken mode was just, you know, it's like, I want some KFC. That sounds good right about now.
And by the way, he's a condor, not a eagle or a falcon.
Yeah, that's what I said, condor.
Did you know they reused the scene of Night Scream's bones?
Yeah, I did notice that. Yeah, yeah,
that's was the same so bones. Cheap on their part. But I think that by that time Hasbro was cutting Mainframe off, saying, "Yeah, this is the last season, so if you can reuse, reuse, because we're not paying you extra."
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of got that impression with the first episode of season two.
So to me, that kind of was irritating, but whatever.
No, it really was a looked quick like. Scene. Yeah, well, I mean, all of the first episode of the season premiere, it looked like they were running out of time and money. And at least now, it looks like they're starting to fix things. But I didn't so much mind it. I mean, they passed by the bat. Reasonably could have been a condor, maybe, sure, you know. And then lastly, after this, I don't think we're going to get to see Megatron's face anymore. He's just going to be, the Matrix version of the Grand Maul.
Well, we constantly see the digitized version of him.
The digitized? What do you mean? That's what I'm saying, though. When we see him and he's talking, it's the Grand Maul head talking. It's not
Megatron face.
Right.
Right, but what I'm saying, it's the Grand Maul head, but it's digitized. It's not the actual head that's talking, it's him inside of it, digitized.
So when Primal is inside the head, and he's still talking to Megatron, it's this matrixy, version of Megatron's head. But the head isn't a Megatron head, like we saw with the answering machine in the last episode. It's the Grand Maul head. The Grand Maul head's going, roar, 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 in the digital.
Be patient. A form of a Megatron head will be returning soon, so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know. Yeah, but cha-ching. It's not until the last episode.
So stupid.
Well, I like that. I
do not like the fact that he stole that. No way.
You know, there is I
would pay $1 for that.
Yeah. You see an awful lot of the Optimal Optimus mold floating around out there. I mean, it's like if you buy a bulk lot on eBay of Transformers Beast Wars toys, at least one of them is going to end up being an Optimal Optimus. They could have easily just slapped a Megatron head on there, and I would have bought another one.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Heck yeah.
Heck yeah.
So is that it for In Darkest Night?
That's all I got.
That's all I'm thinking.
Alright, so we're going to move on.
Silverbolt, Night Scream, Aerial Recon. Rat Trap, Cheetor, Ground Survey. Black Arachnia, your base common backup.
Oh yeah? And what are you going to do, monkey?
Yeah, who died and made you King Kong?
What?
Oh sure, he's all guts and glory now. Where was this chimp when I was tracking down Noble?
If it was up to me, he'd have let that schizo dog rip your circuits out a long time ago.
Why don't you keep your long, twitchy nose out of it?
Well, why should I keep my nose out of it when Love the Boy spent so much time trying to blow it off my face?
Well, evidently, I didn't try hard enough.
Hey, guys, quit fighting. What are you trying to prove? That your logic circuits are all fried?
Remember what is important here. We must stay focused on our goal.
Oh, get over yourself.
For pity's sake.
Mr. High and Mighty talking down to us again.
We're not drones or something.
This hasn't changed much, I see. If you want to act like a bunch of surly farm animals, so be it. I'll deal with Megatron alone.
Up next is Wolf in the Fold. Defending themselves from Megatron, the Maximals face their most dangerous enemies, each other. Oh, really? Oh, God. And break. My first note, and this was going to be my only note until I went back and watched it again. I really don't like this episode. That is all.
Is that really how you feel?
I really don't. Like, when I first started watching it, the first time, because, as I've said before, I usually watch episodes twice, but the first time when I went through and was going to make notes, I was like, wow, this one really sucks. And then, of course, you guys have kind of already stolen my thunder on this, but face it, lady, your boyfriend's a big, shiny chicken.
I know.
Oh, God.
I know. I mean, I thought it was funny because Rat Trap's like, buck, 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 and then everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing it. I'm like, all right, everyone thinks he looks like a chicken. It's not just me. No,
it's like it's time for Super Chicken.
My next note is where I call the continuity into question, because Steve had mentioned a while ago about some sort of different future or different past or whatever, and I still say it's on the same timeline as G1, as far as they went in the past before G1 woke up, and then the future that they're in is after G1 has already happened, because of this next note. Hate Plague.
But it's a variation.
I know it's a variation, but it's still... Rat Trap specifically says, oh, don't you remember that ancient Hate Plague?
Yeah, that's my first thought, was it's the Hate Plague all over again. And then Rat Trap's like, oh yeah, it's a variation of the Hate Plague. And I'm like, duh.
Well, I mean, it's almost like...
Oh, I was going to say, it's like the writers have gone back and started looking at G1 and saying, what can we use?
Yeah.
Well, no, they think they did that earlier in season one, but, I mean, they're still pulling stuff out of their ass or out of the G1's ass.
Well, because, one, I don't think there was an original bone in any of their bodies at this point, and I think Hasbro just wanted it done, so they're like, what can we pull out of our ass real fast? And this was one of them. I mean, it's pretty much a no-brainer, but they were like, how can we get rid of the Hate Plague without the Matrix?
Right.
Because Primal, nevertheless, even though he's infected, still figures out a way around it, right, just as Optimus Prime had done. Yeah. And, yes, and I know what you're saying about the timeline. I do believe this is after G1, you know, and whereas before, they were way back before, but... It's got to be after, because it's all, you know, all that events of things still happened.
Yeah.
So, I like that Megatron did his Matrix head thing again. I didn't quite like all the constant angsty type character flaws that everybody had, bitching at each other.
Yeah, well, see, that's the thing.
I mean, I know they had to do it, and they were kind of copying the Return of Optimus Prime in that sense.
Right. The only real direct copy besides the mention of the Hate Plague, and the only real copy of that episode, besides everybody being mean to each other and want to kick each other's ass, is all their eyes turn like digitally red.
And then they fight each other and argue and right, real loud.
You know what? Honestly, I would have really loved to see them as glowing red peppers, honestly.
Would you like to be a pepper too? Would you like to be a pepper too?
Yeah, yeah. I thought that would have been really cool. You know, Michael always says, why don't we ever get good blue repaints, when you were talking about when Primal was techno matted. Yeah.
Then you need Optimus Prime to come walking in with the Matrix. Does anybody need my help?
Right, right.
I've got the touch.
Oh, yeah. He has about to say Stan Butch comes in and goes, you got the touch!
And then Megatron's like, no!
I would have been like, fuck yeah, I want a toy of that!
Yep.
I'm going to line up at Toys R Us right now. I want a toy of that.
You have a mini Optimus Prime walking in. He's the same height as Primal. Opens up his giant Matrix.
I want a Stan Bush toy with a guitar that turns into a rap bat.
Oh, wow.
That'd be cool.
That's funny.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
And
not going to happen. But
my final note is, could it be that Megatron is right after all? Which is what the last line that Primal said at the end of the episode.
And at the end, Megatron says, booyah, bitches!
Oh, yeah.
Or as close as he can say in a cartoon.
So. Yeah, that's true. So, what about you, Steve?
I found it interesting that they're all talking and, you know, just having a good time to begin with. And then Black Arachne has to say something. And Rat Trap's like, "You just had to jinx it, didn't you?" And Megatron's sending tentacles into the surface.
Tentacles?
Yes.
Just giant, what this show needed.
He's sending... And this is what you keep bringing up the last two episodes, and then unfortunately I brought it up this episode. He sends a number of gigantic claw-ended tentacles coming out of the bottom of his big floating head, you know, smashing into the planet. You know, see, why didn't Unicron figure this out back in G1 when they put him on the planet? All he needs tentacles. Megatron figured it out. Jesus. But,
And, you know, the funny thing is, as soon as I saw that scene today after I rewatched it, and, of course, this was after a certain email was sent to me, first thing I thought of, okay, where's Starfire and Raven?
Slade. Slade. But, yeah, so, I mean, that was quite disturbing in the least to see happen. Have Megatron do, but that was, I guess, his way of spreading the virus through the whole planet to find out where the hell they're all at. And, of course, Silverbolt's the first one to pick it up because he steps on it. Yeah. And it sends a little bug onto the back of his neck. And then everybody else gets infected. It's almost a mix between the Hate Plague from G1 and the little creatures on the Next Generation where they went into the spines of the humans.
The little creatures and the...
Yeah, it was like in the earlier episodes of season one of The Next Generation.
That one.
A lot of Starfleet was infected with these little bugs that they had the little poker sticking out of the back of the neck. That's what it kind of reminded me of. And they were all, like, evil.
Yeah.
But,
Sure.
But, yeah, so, I mean, it was kind of that for me. I, quite honestly... didn't quite care for this episode as much as the previous one.
No, this... mostly
because
this...
I was never a fan of the Hate Plague to start out with.
Yeah, I like the fact that
the Hate Plague was a convenient way to bring Prime back, but...
Well, yeah, it is, and it was. I like the fact that they reference it, but other than that, honestly, this episode really sucks.
Yeah.
This... is, and I don't know if I'll say this about the final episode when we get to it today, but this is probably the only episode in Beast Machines that we probably could have done without.
Yeah, I would say so, just because it doesn't, it kind of just contradicts everything else that came before it and after.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, other than a few good quotes and play on words like Primal saying, "Forget the seeds of the future. I'm burying you in the past." You know, I mean, and so how do we counteract it? Two words: impossible. You know, just, I mean, and having Primal doubt his whole belief system, it was just kind of, I don't know, it was worthless.
These two episodes, this one, Wolf in the Fold, and the next one, Home Soil, they're basically set up for the next three-parter, pretty much. They're pretty much, you know, there's action in them, and there's conflict, and, you know, there's resolution, sort of. But, I mean, they're basically kind of like a lull before the whole big explosion fight stuff happens when we get to the next episode that we record. So, because, I mean, really, there wasn't a whole hell of a lot going on in either one of these episodes.
But without this episode, we wouldn't have our new drinking game.
Uh-oh.
Which is, anytime Rat Trap says Gouda, you take a drink.
Oh, God. That should have happened since day one of this.
Yeah, and
since episode 22.
Keep saying Gouda?
I know.
He loves that word.
Gouda, or, Gouda.
Gouda, Gouda. Or anytime anybody says, "Wah?"
Yeah, what?
Wah! You know, take a drink. You would be hammered by the end of this episode.
Yeah.
Wah! 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 Yeah.
Or Megatron, "Accursed beast forms." He says that quite often.
I've only heard that about 5 times through the season, so I'm not sure if that's...
"I am transformed." That should have been one, too.
That's right. Gouda, take a drink. Wah, take a drink. "I am transformed. Take a drink."
"Gouda, I am transformed. Wah?"
That's right.
That would be such a cool sentence to have said at once.
And by the end of the episode, you're on the floor going, rah, rah, like you just watched Two Girls, One Cup.
Now, I wish
why?
You freaking said that.
Or we're participating in Two Girls, One Cup.
Oh, God. I really wish you hadn't said that now. Because what I was going to say was, Mr. McNeil, if you're listening, we want an interview with you just so you can say this for us. The Gouda, I am transformed, wah.
Oh, I'm sure he would say that. And again, I'm going to revisit this just like I did the in the last episode that we taped. Was if we could get the voice actors to do like a Two Girls, One Cup reactionary video in their voice, that would be hilarious.
It would be, but I don't think they would ever do it.
I'm still going to reference that that Schwarzenegger one, the guy who does a Schwarzenegger voice. Who
I know.
That was funny as hell. I defy any voice actor to listen to that and not want to do their own character in the, you know.
I know, but...
But there's also this other thing. Why in the hell would anyone want to watch that freaking video? You would have to be out of your gourd to want to watch that.
Whose thoughts are we up to now?
Other people reacting to it than it is.
Okay, let's you know, slip out of Two Girls, One Cup. Whose thoughts are we on now?
I'm done with mine.
Okay, Michael.
Okay.
Old.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Now she's pooping. Oh. All right.
Okay, you got your pun in. Now get to your actual friggin' thoughts.
What bothers me about you know, the way this ends, even, everyone's got the hate plague. And they're all, you know, they spend a good 15 minutes biting each other on the ass. And how do they fix it? We hold hands. They're going to sing Kumbaya. They're going to hold hands, and everything will be fine. But, I mean, and Steve will appreciate this. They say, we'll work together to repair our neural pathways. And I'm like, what? This is complete technobabble as plot.
It's like, we eat Gouda cheese.
No, it's like, you know, and I'm you know, technobabble as plot is or technobabble as resolution is very you know, Star Trek Next Generation, where we're just going to reverse the polarity on the forward deflector shield, and that will fix everything, and ta-da, everything's fixed. And you're like, well, how the hell did that happen? Well, they've never used that one before. I know. It's like we had the hate plague. Well, we held hands and it fixed it.
We sang Ring Around the Rosie and it reversed it and sent it back to Megatron.
Yep. Exactly. It just didn't make any sense. I mean, I kind of thought it was kind of cool to watch them all fly through the air in like this weird daisy chain hanging from Primal. But it was just very unsatisfying for me.
You know, I really miss him saying "Prime Jets on."
Yeah, maximum burn. You know, that would have been
prime
awesome.
Time.
Yeah, I would have liked that.
I'm your host, Optimus Primal.
Did you notice this is the first time? Or not the first time. The second time in two episodes that Optimus has been abducted by Megatron.
Yep.
Megatron has an infatuation with him.
Well, at this point, the only way to have a conversation with Megatron is to be sucked up into his head.
I need the up close and personal conversation. Leave me alone.
Well, there's that. And then the
stop fact
that
letting Optimus, the monkey suck on your head.
No, Optimus is just like, I'm leaving, and he flies off. It's like, wait a minute, you're inside a giant head. How are you gonna fly? First of all, you know, he's got. Or Megatron has all these defenses, and he's just going to fly out?
He's like an insect. I cannot combat that. Not only that, but I don't have a physical form to hold them in place. I don't have electrical bonds to hold him, and my tentacles cannot get a hold of him.
Tentacles lifted him right up into the head.
No, that was my tractor beam. That only works inward.
No, he landed on a tentacle, and the tentacle just kind of cradled him and lifted him up, and then, I don't know.
Wait a second. Basically, essentially, Megatron, what you're saying is you can only suck in, but you can't blow out.
Why would I want to blow anything?
We're changing Megahead from suck to blow.
I'm not a goddamn vacuum cleaner, Maximal Scum.
You are the vacuum made from Spaceballs.
That's right. So you've rid yourself of the accursed. You've rid yourself of the accursed beast mode, but you've accumulated a vacuum mode.
Vacuum suck.
The nanny from space. It does not rule me.
Dark helmet.
Yeah, dark helmet.
I got a dark helmet for you. Now it's Silverbolt's turn to run every episode, and you start to dread, you know, the running music. As cool as the music is in this series, you know when that music, you know, dun, 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 when that music kicks in, oh, it's time to run again. Let's all run.
I still like it though.
Yeah, don't worry, Silverbolt, you'll get used to it. Just keep running. Lastly, I really liked the way the seismic force waves looked at the end.
Yeah, those were kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, you know, it was supposed to look like invisible waves of force pushing everything back away from the tentacles and then causing everything underground to cave in, and then they had this weird swirly dust smoke cloud coming out from the tunnels, and it was just really well done. And I mean, like I said, I've been happier with the animation in these last couple of episodes.
Yep. All right, I think we're gonna move on.
Cheetor, no!
Big Pot, what are you doing?
Reformatting it.
Are you out of your processor? You can't reformat a house plant.
Not unless it's a transformer.
Was exhibiting symptoms of Megatron's virus, just like when we first landed.
Thank the Matrix. My circuits are finally clear.
You're a Maximal, like us.
Exactly. I left Cybertron many stellar cycles ago, leading a crew on a voyage of exploration. The planet we settled was populated by chlorophyll-based life forms.
So, whereas our crew assumed the form of animals,
my crew became sentient plants.
That means talking trees.
Thanks. They were on the same scientific mission we were on, until Megatron dragged us into the Beast Wars.
Megatron? Well, that certainly explains a great deal. No doubt he had something to do with the distress call I received.
Yeah, not to mention the welcome wagon that ran you over when your ship dropped into orbit.
His attack shorted out my ship, along with my higher reasoning protocols. My self-preservation circuits must have kicked in.
Which is why you were lashing out at us.
Fortunately, your reformatting automatically rebooted my primary operating systems. Although, I am puzzled as to how organics can exist on Cybertron.
And finally up today is home soil. Oh, God, help us all.
Soiling your home.
I almost read the wrong description. A seemingly empty spaceship crashes onto Cybertron, unleashing a dangerous entity. You know what? Honestly, I feel like this is a Scooby-Doo episode. Let the mystery begin. Because it's like, just the way that, like, they show in the beginning, they show all these rocks and asteroids around, and then they show the ship, and of course they show Cybertron shooting the ship down. And when the ship crashes, you see Silverbolt in the background, and he looks to his right, right at the friggin' audience, and it's like, I wonder what that is. Let's go find out, Shaggy.
And he goes,
that's funny. I didn't get that at all, actually. I kind of seen this episode as you know, like Aliens.
Yeah, I...
Where they're all in this ship on a bug hunt, and the interior of the ship has all been, you know, kind of, you know, I don't want to say xenophied, but, you know, xenoformed, let's say, where, you know, like... In the Aliens movie, when they get deep enough into the complex and they start seeing all the walls have been turned into this weird goop, and that's how they live. And this episode reminded me of that, when they all went on the ship and then the walls are all covered in plant life and it's all gooey and, you know, weird.
Yeah,
it's all gooey and yucky and stuff.
Well, you know, and it just reminded me of that, where it's like, you know, watch those corners, you know, where they need to have those little motion trackers that go beep, 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 you know.
Yeah.
Colonial Marines.
Here's my another complaint I've got, and this, of course, goes to Mr. Emo himself. Nightscream is still a fucking rookie. And yes, Silverbolt enjoyed being Jetstorm, but what right does the goddamn rookie have to make snarky remarks towards Bolt? I mean, Silverbolt, outside of when he was Jetstorm, he essentially has been a good guy throughout the entire Beast era. And it's like, Jesus Christ, you dumb fucking bat piece of shit.
Bat shit.
As Guano, as far as Nightscream is concerned, you know, Silverbolt's the new guy. He doesn't know him from Adam. He just showed up. He doesn't realize that, you know, there's a history there.
Well, he needs to hurry up and recognize, fool.
Recognize, fool. I'll drop your candy ass.
Thank you, Skids.
Wow.
That's, yeah. But, yeah, you realize Michael Bay is going to kill you in the next movie.
I killed that foo.
That's right. It hurt. I know. It's
Rick James, bitch.
So, yeah, anyway. I mean, I like that they kind of, you know, butt heads a little bit. Understandably, you know, they're both flyers. Nightscream thinks that he's no longer the new kid, even though he's still the new kid and he still sucks. But, you know, by the end, they hit it off. There's a certain amount of teamwork going on.
Right, yeah, but it just so rubbed me the wrong way when I saw it. I'm like, Jesus Christ, man, don't you realize? Oh, fool. And like Michael said earlier, it's some sort of... my note actually is, plant zombies from another world.
Plant zombies from outer space.
And I made an addendum to that note that this is easily the quote-unquote horror episode of the show.
Yeah, because they all go inside the ship and it's like watching aliens. Mm-hmm.
That's what I said.
I know.
That's what I said, fool.
That's what I said.
Don't let me smack you upside your head.
All right, we need to get ghetto here. Let's get on.
Yeah, what we have to do here, and Steve will back me up totally on this, is get all up in Mike's business here.
Business.
The first thing we see in this episode is Cybertron from space.
Right.
All right. So, and then you see all the lights on Cybertron, and where the lights cluster, these little clusters of lights is cities, and you see maybe 3 or 4 cities. It's kind of like looking at the United States from space when at night, where you see all the clusters of lights and you can see New York.
Is there a point here? You
know. It is. I'm getting to it. All right. Each cluster of lights is a city. Grand Mall isn't bigger than a city.
Yes. Yes, he is.
But Unicron's head is about a fifth the size of the planet. So... Unicron's
I took another picture of Grand Mall.
Megatron's head is not as big as the fucking planet. It is a city size at best.
You gotta understand, though.
That's what I said.
You gotta understand, though, if you look at Cybertron in G1...
No, we don't have to understand.
No, you have to shut the fuck up. You're fucking fooling. Understand.
G1 season 3
was badly animated. I'm not talking about G1 season 3. I'm talking about G1 season 1. When they
G1 season 1 had no Unicron.
So?
So you can't use that as a comparison, jackass.
Anyways.
At the end of the movie, when you sent out the
I know what I sent out.
That pic on TwitPic. At the end of the movie, you see like Unicron's head. Moon. Rotating, it is literally about a fifth of the diameter of the planet.
Oh boy.
Unicron is not smaller than Megatron.
It's close to the same damn size.
No. Megatron's head, the Grand Mall, could fit on Fortress Maximus as a replacement head. Unicron is probably the size of Fortress Maximus as a fucking whole.
That's probably true. I'll buy that.
I don't buy it.
You don't have to buy it. You don't have any money. You don't have anything to worry about.
No, that is the canon, though. The Grand Mall is made specifically to land on top of Fort Max and be its head. That is, the actual... Even the toy is built that way. You can put the Megabolt Megatron on top of Fort Max as a head. He can't go on my head because I've got Fort Max Puggle.
Yeah.
Pugless Maximus.
Yes. Why is it when the Maximals go back underground and Thrust follows them, I think of the foot soldier that follows Raph from TMNT 1.
Who?
Oh, God.
Ninja Turtles.
Yes. First live-action Ninja Turtles when April O'Neil gets knocked out in the subway and Raph takes her to the sewer den. The foot soldier follows them, and finds out where the lair is. And when the Maximals go back underground after they find the plant zombie stuff, Thrust follows them.
Oh, okay. I see where you're going with that. Yeah.
And then we enter the botanical gardens.
Arkham Asylum.
Where's Poison Ivy when you really need her?
Tell that bitch she's needed.
Well, I mean, she's
get
close
upstairs,
enough.
Ivy.
She's got some pretty cool powers.
Yep. And then
she can play with plants.
And she knows about lighting.
Yes.
She knows about how to make weed.
Make what?
She's gonna make stuff to make the robots get high.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I don't even want to know what techno-organic weed would be like.
It'd be purple.
LSD.
It'd be like magic mushrooms.
It's pretty color.
I don't think... I don't know. I can't speak for everybody, but I don't think... I didn't ever expect this next one. Well, wait a damn minute. Megatron's head transforms... Cool.
Yeah, that was freaking awesome.
What the hell did it transform into? Toy. It transformed into a spaceship? What was that?
That was like, it was almost reminiscent of the Beast Wars ship.
Yeah.
Kinda.
Almost. I didn't say exactly. Yeah.
No, I'm not nitpicking. I'm just saying it kinda is reminiscent of Darkseid. And then I actually added a note. I just said that it was a nice fire effect at the end.
Yeah, they actually got some fire that looks halfway decent.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, what about you, Steve?
Well, for me, this episode, it was a little strange, but I noticed that for one, remember, you know, two episodes ago, or not two episodes ago. Many episodes ago when Primal reformatted Nightscream and he was weak as hell for like four episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And then he does it again in this one. And it's completely fine.
Yeah.
Except he had to like hug Nightscream and in this one he just shoots a laser beam from his chest like...
Well,
and then there he goes, you know?
He's gotten better at it.
Yes, he's like, I have the power, but he doesn't have a sword.
I don't think it's...
Stan Bush comes in with Rat Trap and goes, you got the touch!
And Rat Trap's like, oh yeah.
That's so wrong. I don't think it's because he's gotten better at it. I think it's because the Oracle no longer exists, and the only remnants of the Oracle are in him. So whereas the first time when he did Night Scream... Oh god, that sounds horrible. The first time when he reformatted Night Scream, it was the first time he actually reformatted something himself and didn't actually take them to the physical Oracle, and the Oracle was still around. Whereas now, the Oracle is gone, and whatever is left of the Oracle is actually inside it. So it's kind of like the Oracle planted seeds inside Optimus.
Ah.
Yeah, that sounds bad. Planted them there.
But yes. Yeah, I liked how it showed the defenses of Cybertron blasting the hell out of the Autobot-like shuttle.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which Starship Troopers makes you wonder if any descendants of G1 guys were there, or if that was just that standard ship they gave people if they weren't on a fighting mission.
I think it was a standard ship.
I think it was just, like you're saying, yeah, just a standard ship. But it was quite strange having a horror episode in this, which it wasn't all that bad by comparison to the other episode. I'm still not... I don't know. There's just something about Botanica that I don't quite like still, despite the fact that she's an added addition.
I think the only reason, and I don't, you know, maybe we can talk about this maybe in the outro, but I don't really understand why people don't like her other than the fact that she is a plant. But, like, once her and Rat Trap kind of started arguing, I was like, oh, cool, there's slightly more comedy. It's not so dark anymore. And, of course, that was close to the end of, you know, where they're starting to end the series and end the show. But I don't mind her, really, because it plays into the plot of the series.
Well, sadly, I think with the introduction of Plantformers, I think this is where the death threat started.
Yeah.
Even before the whole planet turned into, you know, the Blue Jungle planet, Plantformers, I think, is where it started. I think there's a lot of purists out there who just could not get their heads around Plantformers, and they just exploded.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I hadn't really gotten into Beast Wars. I had never seen Beast Wars. So when this came on, I was receptive, let's say. I was like, oh, well, of course there'd be a whole planet full of plants, and they would have scanned them and become plants. Sure, that makes perfect sense. It makes me wonder if there's, like, you know, silicon-based Transformers out there, or, you know, because whenever you read sci-fi, you know, you've got humans and you've got plants and then you've got
Lords.
Rock monsters, rock, right? Lords. I mean, why wouldn't there be a rock lords out there? Sure, that could happen.
Oh my god.
I'm sure that if they'd written rock lords into it too, then somebody a whole different, you know, segment of the fandom would have been pissed off at that, but
yeah.
I would have liked it. We need to do that. We need fan fiction with rock lords. Putting it on my calendar.
What else you got, Michael?
It was interesting to see the drones come back, because now you've got Thrust and he's got his little midget motorcycles around him, and then jet drones, and I'm like, what? There's still jet drones, because, you know, there's no more Jetstorm, they killed them off. And I'm thinking at this point, man, we haven't seen tank drones since Tankox died. And then the minute I wrote that down, tank drones pop out. And they're as dumb as ever. They're just getting slaughtered by the hundreds. Or I should say by the tens, let's say. But that's a lot, too. But yeah, I'm like, damn, I stand corrected.
They get disintegrating vines.
Well... Yeah, I mean, they're just, it's really sad.
That,
I'm assuming that either Thrust has command of everything now.
He does. Well,
or it's Megatron who's controlling everything else, but I don't know. I just thought it was cool to see them all again.
Yeah, it is. Nice. I think it's both. I think it's Thrust and Megatron controlling them all, obviously, until we get to next episode.
Yeah. Yes. Which, you know, Thrust and Megatron both make comments about this. Thrust goes, real fair, one of me, six of them, seven. Now, as we remain static, the organics grow yet stronger. Clearly, this infestation must be exterminated once and for all.
With DDT. Yeah, you guys are probably too young to remember DDT.
I know what DDT is. I was gonna say, why don't you throw a throw a stunner on it?
Oh god. Rat Trap's port tail.
Yeah.
Works in beast mode now. Whereas, you know, it used to only work in
robot
mode. Now he actually transforms into beast mode to plug his tail in, which I thought was either poor writing or poor animation. I
wasn't sure. That's just power overload.
Somebody's dropping the ball here.
Yeah.
Well, it's just like in a couple episodes ago when Nightscream got knocked out. Technically, they're supposed to transform back to beast mode.
Yeah.
And they dropped the ball on that one too. So it's just getting sloppy the closer it gets because pretty much they know they're almost done.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah. I would argue that because I think that Bob Skier had anticipated a season 3.
Yeah.
But
oh, they did.
Yeah. So, I mean, no, I would argue that, no, they didn't really see the end coming. It kind of jumped out and bit them on the ass in the last second. You know, because of things like, why didn't Primal get a new body when he came back from the dead again?
That would have been cool.
It would have been cool. Would have sold more toys.
At a Prime Head.
Heck yeah. That would have been awesome.
They should have put the remastered Beast Wars toys in there that they developed like a couple years ago.
The remaster? Oh.
Yeah, the redesign, the ones that they released as a part of the Cybertron line, but also the...
The Universe 2.0
stuff? That would have ruled.
That would have ruled, having those versions of Megatron and Optimus.
Yeah.
As the ape and the Tyrannosaurus.
That would have been so ruly. Yeah.
Because it looks techno-organic-y.
Yeah, it does. I would have dug it. Yeah. And lastly, you know... despite the fact that I think a lot of people were aggravated at Botanica, you know, they've added just another character who's better than Nightscream.
Yes.
Yeah.
No matter how I feel about that character, she's still better than Nightscream.
I like Botanica.
She kind of was like an eraser feeling character.
I like her Baroness accent.
Yes.
You know, I dig that. I like her eyes. She's got like one green eye and one yellow eye. It's funky. I dig it. I like her transformation. She has like this weird vine helix thing that wraps around her, and then when it peels back, she changes.
Yep.
But she kind of goes inside out.
I like that. I mean, I like it a lot better than having limbs come out of her chest and spider legs sprout out of her back. It's kind of out of weird places. I mean, it's almost like she's not transforming in the traditional sense, but she's got kind of a style to it.
Yeah,
that's different. I really like it. You know, they don't have to learn how to transform anymore, but you know, we talked about that earlier.
Yeah.
And lastly, her textures are much better done than like Silverbolt or Noble. Where if you look at Noble, and I mentioned this before when they introduced him, it's that. You know, he's big and he's blue, but he's got these pink highlights on him that have really thick borders, thick line border, like thick, like someone took like a brown marker and drew the lines and then filled them in with pink. So it's strange. It's almost like a tattoo.
Yeah.
With these weird thick outlines. And if you look at Silverbolt, when he not in his robot mode, which looks pretty slick, but in his giant chicken mode, he's got the same thing going on. You know, where he's got a bunch of different highlights on him, but they're all separated by big, thick brown lines. It looks weird. But when you take a good look at Botanica, especially around her face and her head and the leaves, the foliage, let's say, around her, you know, it's all very finely detailed. There's no big, thick brown lines between any of the color variations on her. I mean, it's like somebody put a lot of time and effort into this model. It looks really, really nice. I really dig it. I dig this character, and you know, I think it fits well with the overall theme of the series. It's like, wow, the whole point here is to grow techno-organic plants. Well, now we have a teammate that's a techno-organic plant.
So, yeah.
Good times.
Good times. All right, you're going to hear some audio clips, and we'll come back with the outro.
We'll return to the Beast Unleashed podcast after this.
Here's quote number one.
You continue to serve me well, even when fouled by techno-organic matter. I don't work for you anymore. Mind your manners. I rescued your spark from oblivion. I chose you as my general for a reason.
Yeah, to satisfy his twisted sense of humor. Don't listen to him.
You are a creature of honor, Silver Bolt. You fight for just causes. I gave you such a cause.
But the destruction of all organic life?
Cybertron is a haven for machines. While Optimus was eluded by the false visions of a malfunctioning computer, I have been restoring Cybertron's purity, and surely that's the most honorable cause of all.
A world without free will? Where's the honor in that? Don't listen to him, Silverbolt. He turned you into a monster.
I gave you strength. I gave you power.
We gave you friendship. I gave you my heart.
I gave you purpose. I gave you life.
You gave me nothing!
Here's quote number two.
What are you doing to Cybertron? Oh, that was merely an elaborate way to get your attention. An invitation, if you will. It seems, Optimus, that we are not so far apart as it once appeared. We both want the same thing.
Oh, and what's that?
Harmony.
And quote number three.
As much as I hate to say it, we're trapped like rats.
Now, back to the Beast Unleashed podcast.
Thank you for joining us here on the Beast Unleashed podcast. Stop typing. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. Join the... don't join the forums. Those are
kind of... Join the voicemail.
No, we're not joining the fucking voicemail. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter. The show name there is Beast Unleashed minus TFG and Mike. What is your Twitter, Michael?
I forget. Yes.
Oh, man.
Pecan CT Michael.
SCP-21.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/geekcastradionetwork. We are currently running a contest on there, which we are at 146 fans. If you help us get to 300, we will give away two Stan Bush prize packs, which include a autographed CD of Dream the Dream, his new album, and a T-shirt.
Not to mention, you won't hear Mike say this anymore.
Well, I'll still say the become a fan on Facebook stuff.
No, I'm saying you won't have the constant reminder of the.
Oh well, yeah. I need to start promoting that more, anyways.
Yes. In your face.
Well, of course, if Steve would ever take a damn picture of the shit so I could put it in a video.
Fine.
Call the voicemail line. Call the voicemail line. Tell us to share, leave me a message for, and your name, 502-526-5821.
If we get enough people calling in to say they'd like to see the Stan Bush toy, we will get Rat Bat.
That would be cool.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Beast Unleashed podcast and wish you will join us next time. We'll be reviewing three more episodes from Beast Machine Season 2, those being... This is the Spark War three-parter, so Part 1 is called The Strike, Part 2 is called The Search, and Part 3 is called The Siege. For now, I am TFG on Mike with...
Michael Wilson.
And Steve Megatron Phillips.
Megatron, close the show.
You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say will be misquoted, then used against you.
That's it?
When everything's coming your way, you're in the wrong lane.
Wow, that's so not epic.
I actually
you're
thought you were
a fucking pissant. Does that make you happy?
I thought you were going to finish the Miranda rites.
I will kill you with a spoon.
Talk about a sporking good time.
A titanium spork.
I will take you and shove you up Unicron's ass.
Which is much bigger than the Grand Mall.
Me, yes. Unicron,
then I will take you and shove you up Unicron's ass. He would call it a welcome enema.
Grimlock, need new strategy.
You wouldn't be Grimlock. You'd be the ass hat.
You could wear Unicron's ass on your head like a hat.
Excellent. Yes.